Wisconsin highway officials are issuing temporary permits and waiving fees for trucks stocking grocery stores. It's one more the way the state is responding to the COVID-19 pandemic. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. Some brick-and-mortar shops have seen their shelves literally cleared out of toilet paper, hand sanitizer, other items amid this outbreak. The makers of Charmin and Cottonelle say they've ramped up toilet paper production and are able to meet demand. Do you work at a grocery store, a department store, or another business that deals directly with consumers? How are shoppers behaving right now? We're at 800-642-1234. Aradhana Krishna is a behavioral scientist and professor of marketing at the University of Michigan. Her research focuses on how the senses affect consumer perceptions, judgments, and decisions. Aradhana, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. Thank you for inviting me to your show.
Well, President Trump urged us to ease up on our shopping, on the stockpiling that's going on. What do you make of the president's comments that people don't need to buy so much at this time?
I think it's very appropriate at this time because, as we can see, shelves are being completely cleared out. And besides shelves being cleared out, at the same time, we are seeing a lot of price gouging going on. So the prices are increasing. So it's a question of availability. So people are really buying up and prices are going up. And, you know, so it's kind of interesting. So if you think about, you know, visual cues of demand, so there are these visual indicators of demand, and some of us marketing professors were talking about it, my colleagues at Cornell and Dartmouth, Ellie Kyung and Manoj Thomas. So we were talking about stockouts happening and why they are happening, and we came up with this theory of visual indicators of demand. So think about going to another city, and you're a tourist, and you don't know which restaurant to go to, and you see a line outside one restaurant and you say, oh, that must be a good restaurant and there's a big demand for it. So I think I should go there. And you may know nothing about the food, nothing about the service, but you join that line. So the same sort of thing is happening here. If you go into a store and you feel that a particular shelf is empty, and now with things like toilet paper, if a few people buy toilet paper, that shelf starts looking empty because toilet paper is very bulky. And so when they see the shelf being empty, they say, I think I need to buy toilet paper. And so then other people start buying toilet paper and it is completely sold out.
Oh, like
and once it's sold out,
someone knows something I don't, therefore I should get in on this.
Yes, exactly right. That's exactly the point. So somebody knows something. So people are buying toilet paper and therefore I should be buying it. And then the same thing happens online.
And online and on social media, you're seeing these images as well. What do they do to our psyche?
So, you know, so many things are happening on social media. So people are informing each other about things, again, which are very salient to them. So when they see things sold out, they start talking to each other and saying, look, this is running out. And, you know, so consumers, of course, I mean, as human beings, we respond to cues in our environment. So we are seeing this in terms of these visual cues of what I call demand. There's a lot of demand for toilet paper. I also think of visual cues of supply. So if you go into a store, and sometimes I feel rationing backfires. So in a retail store, if there's a point of purchase sign saying only three allowed. And so yesterday, for example, a friend of mine went to a store and there were gallons of water with only three allowed per customer. She had no intention of buying water, but she came back with three. So that rationing sign again serves as a visual indicator of supply. So people think, again, you know, there's something going on. I don't know about it. They're running out of supply and I should buy three. So it becomes like an anchor, like I have to go in and buy three. So that's the second thing that is going on alongside.
Another thing I want to ask you through this reasoning and what's going on in our head, authorities have been urging people not to hoard products like surgical masks and hand sanitizer. So those can be available to health professionals who need it. Is that kind of reasoning enough to actually persuade a consumer behavior in a crisis?
So, of course, this will vary across consumers. So, some consumers might think I need to leave it for health professionals and not go out and buy a surgical mask. But then others might feel that this is an indication again of short supply, so I should hoard up. So it could go either way. And I'm seeing countries react in different ways to these shortages. So, for example, in Taiwan, what they did was they announced upfront when masks would be available. So they said, we'll be giving out. So the government was controlling the masks, and they said, we'll give out 1 million masks for sale on January 22nd and January 23rd, and then another 1 million masks on January 30th to March 20th every week. And so, in this sense, people feel that yes, there'll be more masks coming. And so, it can be controlling the surge of people going and purchasing. And also, they can time the release of the mask with their prediction of when as the disease will be spreading. So there are different ways of dealing with it. One is informing the public, one is the government sort of controlling supply in some sense. So it's a very difficult thing to control the demand and supply in this situation.
We're looking at how COVID-19 is affecting consumers with University of Michigan marketing professor Aradhana Krishna as our guide. You can join in. Have you seen any empty shelves at stores? What have you noticed in what other people are buying, how they're buying it? Have you been stockpiling yourself? Join in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Let's bring in Mike now in Franklin with thoughts on this. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, hi.
What's on your
Yeah,
mind?
I've gone. I work third shift, so I left work and made a few stops on the way home. And every place I did like four or five stores, and every store was completely out of toilet paper. Even flushable wipes and hand sanitizer. Even food, a lot of the food, eggs was a big thing that was missing too on their shelf.
And hand sanitizer too. You were allowed just one when you did find it.
She was just stocking the shelf, and I said, "Well, I'll grab two." She goes, "Oh, you're only allowed one." I said, "Okay."
Do you feel like you've been just buying what you need, or have you been trying to stock up?
I've just been buying what I need, and I wanted to get like maybe, a large pack of toilet paper that we can. Usually you get like maybe a four pack or whatever. I couldn't even get a four pack. I think Sendex was selling toilet paper, but it was like non-tree toilet paper. They're called bamboo toilet paper
So
for like
something
$5
you
a roll.
normally, yeah, something you normally wouldn't buy. Aradhana, what are we seeing happening in the supply chain here?
So manufacturers are of course trying to ramp up their supply, and they have made public statements. For example, Reckitt Benckiser, the makers of Dettol, and also the Lysol manufacturers have said they are really trying to increase capacity to keep up. But it is difficult for them to keep up with the, so exponentially increased demand over here. Some other manufacturers like Purell have redistributed the supply to areas where they feel it'll be more needed. So they're first going to supply the hospitals and then supply the consumers. So I think the manufacturers and the retailers and the sorry, the manufacturers are responding well, and some retailers are also responding in a nice way by trying to curb the price gouging. So they are like eBay has said they will not allow hand sanitizers to be sold on their website. And I think that's a good measure because we cannot have price increases at this time. And because typically what people say is price increase is fine, the product goes to the person who needs it most. But that's not the case here. Everybody needs it. And especially, if we can't afford to pay a lot, but we still need to go into work, and let's say we still need to use public transport, those are the people who need it most. So I am completely with you, Mike. You need that toilet paper, and I hope the production is being ramped up and you get your toilet paper soon.
Let's bring in Scott now, joining us from Germantown this morning. Hi, Scott.
Hi, how's it going?
Doing well. What's on your mind?
Yeah, so I was just wondering, so far I have held out. I haven't been like stockpiling or anything. We've had enough toilet paper at home, all that stuff. But I keep seeing, like you guys were saying, on Facebook and the media, all these empty shelves. I'm wondering, once stuff starts coming back, should I start stockpiling what I have?
Aradhana, what would you do in that situation where Scott hasn't decided to join in with what he is seeing there online, and yet when it's time for him to get something, he needs to get something?
This is such an interesting question, both from an ethical perspective and, you know, and in terms of, so it's a trade-off between seeing, like, I need to take care of myself, but I also need to take care of society. So if I start stockpiling, somebody else won't get it. So I care about myself. I also care about society. And Scott is great because he's been caring about society at this time and not stockpiling. So I think manufacturing will continue in certain industries for the most part. And I'm hoping that the necessities, the manufacturing keeps continuing while keeping the workers safe. So because from their perspective, they know that the product is needed, and which is, you know, in one sense, yes, it's more profitable for them, but they also know that people need it. So Scott should buy this toilet paper, maybe a little more, but it's a trade-off he has to make in terms of how much more he wants to purchase and, you know, and then clean out the shelves pretty early before a person comes in an hour later.
We're talking about consumer behavior amid the COVID-19 pandemic with University of Michigan marketing professor Aradhana Krishna, who studies consumer behavior. What steps do you think brick-and-mortar stores or the government should take to prevent hoarding? Are you a business owner? How do you feel about your supply lines right now? Join in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Back in a moment with Aradhana Krishna here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Wisconsin laws against price gouging are now in effect after Governor Evers declared a state of emergency last week. And these laws generally mean that consumers shouldn't be charged more than 15% higher for goods or services than prices before the emergency started. So we're looking at the shopping frenzy as U.S. toilet paper sales were up 60% for the week that ended March 7th compared with the same period a year ago. Have you seen any empty shelves or long lines at stores? Have you noticed, you know, what other people are buying, how they've been stocking up? Have you seen instances of price gouging? We're at 800-642-1234. We have University of Michigan marketing professor Aradhana Krishna, who stays with us. Aradhana, let's look closer at consumer prices and what price gouging means. How do you see consumer prices effective? And do these price gouging laws that currently we have effect in Wisconsin, do they work?
So this is an interesting question. So typically when prices increase, some people might notice it and then, state it on social media that, look, prices are going up over here. And then the retailers, for example, eBay or Amazon, if the prices have been increased on their sites, will try to monitor it, and they may not be able to monitor it. But with the laws in effect, and there is typically also a number to call in for the public if they notice a price increase. And so if that is happening, so that's definitely the case in California. That's probably the case in Wisconsin as well, where there's a number given in for the public to call in if they see a price increase. Then you know, the public gets more vigilant. So the public is calling in. When the public calls in, the media notices it more. The media publishes it as well. The government notices it definitely much more because the number is being called in. And so if there is more, like, furor over the prices going up, then the manufacturers of those products also don't want to be associated with the price gouging. So they are going to take greater care that their products are not sold at those high prices. So now you have, like, four entities. You've got the consumers, you've got the retailers, you've got the government, and you've got the manufacturer watching out for it. So I think the price gouging laws can be very effective in stopping price gouging.
Let's take another call now. Deb is with us from Platteville. Hi, Deb.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning. What's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to mention, at least in southern Wisconsin, we have a lot of small stores, like little groceries and stuff, and they still have toilet tissue and hand sanitizer, and it would be really nice if people would spend their money there.
So you're saying local stores, little mom and pops, do have supplies on hand. It's more like the big retailers, the big box stores that are running out of the supplies. Aradhana, do you see that?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, that's a really good point. So what happens in situations of anxiety and situations of fear, which is the kind of situation we are in now, is people really want the familiar. So people feel more protected by the familiar. People turn to the familiar. So here we are talking about familiar brands and familiar stores. So the reason that, you know, some brands have higher market share, are better known, are because more people are familiar with them. The same thing goes for the larger stores. More people shop in them. More people are familiar with them. So when something like the coronavirus strikes and we have greater anxiety, greater fear, we turn to this familiar. So that's where the stockouts happen. So you'll also see the familiar brands running out. So the familiar stores will run out, the big stores and the big brands. And I have to add also, so this is also a time when I think foreign brands will suffer, because foreign is less familiar. You want your familiarity over here. So if you go and try to purchase the brands which are not the Charmin toilet paper, you're more likely to get it. If you go to stores which are like the mom and pop stores, you are more likely to get your product. So that's exactly right.
Deb, thank you. Let's go to Andrew now in Heartland. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, how are you doing?
Doing well. What's your question?
Well, so I've got two comments, really. First, I think that what we're seeing as far as stores being depleted on different supplies is kind of indicative of the just-on-time delivery model that a lot of stores and manufacturing has adopted, because it's cheaper to run your business when you don't have such a large inventory to store. And secondly, I think you see a lot of Americans and people globally dashing to stores to stock up on supplies because they don't have anything stored at home at all, whether it's canned food or vegetables or whatever the case may be. They don't have any of that at home. And I think those are probably the two biggest driving factors into why people are panicked, along with a lot of media reports.
Andrew, thank you for those comments. Aradhana, starting with his first comment, just-on-time inventory, what impact does that have?
So I think Andrew is right. So with just-in-time inventory modeling, it'll take a little longer for the stockouts to be replenished. And so because the retail stores don't have much stock in hand, and Andrew's right. So if these models also are being changed in real time as the situation demands right now, and he's absolutely right. And if I take his second question, which is that, so Andrew, just repeat your second question so that the public.
He said that, you know, people just don't have a lot in their pantry. They don't stock up, and therefore, you know, they go out every day to get things.
Yes, exactly. So there are many people who have much smaller houses, much smaller apartments that they are living in, and they don't have, typically in a typical situation in normal life, they don't have the room to stock up, especially at bulky things like toilet paper. And so at this point, they have to go out. If they want to stock up a little more, they have to go out and purchase things. So again, Andrew is right. His observations are right on the mark.
Andrew, thanks. Let's bring in Carolyn now in Sun Prairie with thoughts on this. Carolyn, hi.
Hi. I'm just wondering if anybody else, and if this is off topic, I apologize, but I am just wondering if anybody else is shocked and ashamed and embarrassed for this behavior, because I know I am, and I refuse to participate.
Carolyn, thank you. Aradhana, is there, you know, are people feeling some embarrassment about these actions right now by consumers all around the country and here in Wisconsin?
Oh, absolutely. So, I mean, there is one part of us, you know, the more ethical part of us, the part that cares about society, which is thinking that I really should not be doing this. I don't need a surgical mask. The doctor needs a surgical mask. I don't need hand sanitizers as much as doctors need hand sanitizers. So one does feel embarrassed, and one knows that if one stocks up a lot, then, you know, people who come into the store an hour later will not get the product. So there is a level of embarrassment. So that, again, is adding to stress. So there is stress already because of personal safety concerns. And then on top of that, there are concerns like these, which are, am I doing the right thing? Is this behavior correct? And so, yes, so there are a lot of different stresses which we are facing at this time.
In our last minute, you've written books about how our senses affect our behavior. What senses right now are most active in driving consumers with COVID-19?
Oh, that's interesting. So, you know, our senses are guiding us. All our senses are guiding us all the time. But when I was talking about visual indicators of demand and supply, so that is really being driven by our visual sense in terms of how we are reacting to the empty shelves and the point of purchase signs on the product rationing. But in terms of how we are feeling right now, it's absorbing everything around us. I mean, things are quiet where things were not quiet. There is nobody on the street. There is nobody. If we have to go to work, we find things on the roads empty. We find even our own offices more empty than before. We are not going to restaurants. We are not going to bars. The smells are changing. Mm. So all our senses are affected, and it affects us in a very subliminal, non-conscious way because our world has changed.
Well, Aradhana, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you very much.
Aradhana Krishna, professor of marketing at the University of Michigan. Right now we're hearing So Fresh, So Clean by the hip-hop group Outkast. The song's chorus is about 20 seconds. How long doctors urge us to wash our hands with soap or sanitizer. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.